I'm doing great. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right, so let's get to the question at this hour. What do we know?
Well, it's been a quiet day, but there was just some news not long ago. Rebecca Blank, who's the chancellor at Wisconsin, on a teleconference, was asked about Big Ten football, and she said, quote, "I will say we're all going to move forward together in the Big Ten. We're all going to play or not if we possibly can. It's not going to be a school-by-school thing." So that, at least for now, puts to rest some of the speculation that if the league did intend on starting this fall season, that some schools might not be part of it, that they would choose to opt out. I think after the presentation on Sunday to all of the Big Ten presidents and chancellors, very comprehensive, especially around the medical information, I think there's a sense now that if the league returns and plays fall football, and I believe it will, that all schools are comfortable with at least attempting to play a season possibly as soon as October 17th.
I don't think people realize how comprehensive this presentation was. It took a lot of time because it wasn't just medical protocols, which were extensive, quick testing, which was important, but also dealt with TV and also scheduling. So this was an all-encompassing presentation, correct, Adam?
Correct. Very comprehensive. Marathon was one word that I was told to describe it. And, you know, it was heavily based on the medical information. And, again, I know there was a lot of criticism for Kevin Warren and all sorts of theories as to why the Big Ten postponed initially. I don't think they did a good enough job of explaining it really was because of medical concerns from the medical doctors in this conference on August 11th. That those concerns, not that they're completely gone, but I think there's a much different tone in the Big Ten medical community, especially around what you referenced, the rapid testing, even some information about screening for heart issues and just the ability to manage a season amid this pandemic. I think there's a lot more confidence now. Jim Borchers, who's the lead team physician at Ohio State, who co-chaired the medical subcommittee along with Sandy Barber, the AD at Penn State, who we all know very well, and there are other lead team physicians on that subcommittee. There's infectious diseases experts, there's sports medicine chiefs on these campuses, and I think the fact that they're confident and they have a lot more information about how this can be done, in theory, that should give the presidents a little bit more confidence. But as we all know, presidents are unpredictable, and we'll see how this thing shakes out. But I think the comments by Chancellor Blank, I read into them as being very encouraging.
You mentioned the president's part of it. We referenced it a couple of times. How difficult is it? You're somebody that's well-sourced. But a lot of times, with all due respect, those sources can be athletic directors, they can be coaches, sometimes it's a player. Who has sources that are presidents?
Great question. It's certainly not me. I know it's. Right. I don't know if you have those lines into that.
Maybe it's our
friends at the Chronicle Higher Education or InsideHigherEd.com or those almost trade publications. They probably have a better sense. I know some of the Big Ten presidents, not many, but I would not describe my source base as including many university presidents. Maybe one of the lessons in this process, Steve, is that I need to be better sourced with the presidential community.
See, but this is my point about this. We can kid about it, but that's what's made this story so difficult. People are like, well, don't you know what's going on? How do you not know what's going on? Okay, whose source is a university president? Nobody. Nobody has that source.
Right.
And that's what has made this story a difficult one to track.
Extremely difficult. Yeah. I think we certainly, I know I tried to, inform my audience and anyone who would listen that, some of the key decisions around this season, given how unusual it is, were not going to be made by coaches and not going to be made necessarily by athletic directors, but it was going to be a presidential decision because of the seriousness of it. And, we encounter this a little bit with realignment, certainly, and some other things, but typically the Big Ten decision makers are the ADs and the coaches and others in the conference. And this is one of those above their level decisions. And conversations that's, again, ongoing right now to to some degree, although it doesn't seem like much is happening today. But they were always going to be the ones making the call. And I think another thing that's hard for just your average college football fan to understand is that university presidents are dealing with budgets that make the football budget look like a couple of like loose change on my desk right now. I mean, maybe not that extreme, but they're dealing with much larger issues with an entire campus, with tens of thousands of students in some cases, and all sorts of safety concerns and all sorts of liability. And so, you know, this is certainly part of their job. And if they're in the Big Ten, they need to recognize how important football is in this conference. But it's not a large part of their job. It's just a small part. And that's an important perspective to have when evaluating what's going on.
This now being the 14th, there's now been a full weekend of NFL games, but we don't know what the post-game testing happens to be. Maybe we do with the Chiefs and the Texans. We've had a couple of weekends now of college football. Power 5 got some schools going this past weekend. So far, with a blip here or there, Memphis being one, so far, okay. You know, so far, so good. Does that weigh into the decision of the Big Ten presidents, you think, that so far it's gone okay, and if you start a little later, you'll have a read on everybody when you actually start playing?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything is being monitored. I think one thing that the Big Ten folks, from what I was told, they did not, I mean, I think it's evidenced by their decision to postpone. They seem to be less willing to go through the ups and downs of some of the other conferences. You're seeing postponements. You're seeing stoppages in practices. We saw that last week with Virginia and Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech just can't play right now. You know, BYU plays a game at Navy, a dominant game. Then they come back, and in midweek they have what I was told was a small number of positive COVID tests, but since they were all on the plane together, that knocks them out for this game against Army that was supposed to happen this Saturday. So it is, I really think, again, the rapid testing, I know it's been there to some degree in other sports and in other fields earlier, but it hasn't really come full force to college football. And I think when it does, not everything goes away, but the sport will just be so much easier to be played because then you're not dealing with large numbers. I mean, we haven't seen many teams other than when they first got back to campus where you had 30 positive tests. You have eight positive tests and 40 other guys that can't do anything. With the rapid testing, my understanding is that 40 guys who can't do anything part should go away almost completely. And so it's a lot easier to go through a practice. I was talking to a special teams coach in the Big Ten right now who was telling me, I can't do any of my stuff because of contact tracing. And it's going to be a mess when we get out there because if I can't practice these things in advance. So it's those elements are very, very important.
And what's interesting is that Illinois, I believe, now has some rapid testing on their campus, and they're very proud of it. I mean, everything they do. By the way, don't forget, we're having a meeting at the Quad. We have rapid testing. It's always in the press release. They're very proud of it.
Right.
Oh. So we play the waiting game. So I just want to make sure, from your vantage point, where you're sitting right now, you don't see any white smoke at the moment, right?
You know, nothing that at this moment that we're talking, but it certainly can change quickly. It wouldn't be surprising if nothing happens today. Not saying that it won't, but I think we're already sitting here at 4:15 in the afternoon. Nothing has happened as far as anything official from the Big Ten, but I would still expect something to happen as far as a vote and a decision and a resolution. You know, hopefully by midweek. It's obviously been a long and drawn out process. Presidents have a lot of other things going on. It's hard to get everybody to have a lot of different meetings together, but I think there's a sense hopefully they've heard what they need to hear after the meeting Sunday, and eight of them were in another meeting with the medical subcommittee on Saturday. So that information has been relayed. I don't think there's a need to go over it much more at this point. It's time to make a decision, and as Rebecca Blank is saying today, it's going to be a united decision one way or the other.
Right, and one final point. I know that James Franklin on the Network Coaches show a little more than a week ago, I said, how long would it take you to ramp up? And he talked about 4 weeks. I know Paul Christ, I think, mentioned Barry Alvarez 3. Has anybody else mentioned to you how quickly they think they could ramp their football program up?
Yeah, about a month is what I've heard on average from coaches in the conference, you know, which would, again, put us around that October 17th date if they're allowed to start. You know, I mean, some are already going through sort of the no pads practices now. But if you can start padded practices and getting that going in the next, you know, I would say 2 weeks, I think there's certainly a chance for most of these teams to get on the field by mid-October.
Adam, thanks so much. I know your time was limited. We really appreciate the time you gave us. You always do great work.
Thanks. I appreciate you and appreciate you having me on.